Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
What a great day to be able to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Honestly, I wish we could all be together. I wish we were at the various campuses just lifting our voices in praise to the Lord. But if we can't do that, this is the next best thing. And I am so glad that we have this time together to be encouraged in the Lord, to worship the Lord together, to celebrate the risen Savior, our resurrected King Jesus. You know, as I was thinking about what to share with you this morning, one of the things that's just been on Debbie and my heart is just the fact of how much God cares for us. He cares for people who know and love him. He cares for people who've never heard of him. He cares for people who have walked away from him. He cares for people who wonder if he's real. God cares. Easter tells us God cares. God cares about each one of us personally. God knows exactly where we're at. He knows what you and I need. And here's the wonderful thing about our God. Our God is a God who runs after us. He's a God who reaches out to us. And you see that on that very first Easter in John's Gospel, chapter 20. I love that account of the resurrection because it details for us the Son of God, Jesus Christ, his personal care for people. The first person he came to was Mary Magdalene. We don't know a lot about Mary. What we do know is that in Luke chapter 8, it tells us at the start of the chapter that Jesus had cast seven demons out of her. It also tells us that she was a part of a group of wealthy women who supported financially the ministry of Jesus and the disciples. From that, we assume this, that she probably was widowed, that she was a woman of means, and that Jesus, having set her free, so touched her and changed her life that she simply wanted other people to know of his life-changing power. We see her again in Mark chapter 15 as she's at the foot of the cross, as she sees Jesus laid in a tomb. And so when you come to John chapter 20, early on that first Easter Sunday morning, Mary's coming with some other women to the tomb. The Bible tells us that as she was on her way to the tomb, that there was an incredible earthquake, that an angel of the Lord came down. And when he touched down, it sent off the shock waves of this earthquake. The guards guarding the tomb, they saw this angel as he walked over to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. They were so terrified, those guards were, that they passed out. They fainted. And the angel spoke to the women and told them that Jesus had risen from the dead. He didn't roll the tombstone back to let Jesus out. He rolled it back to let the world in so that they could see that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was in fact alive. Immediately, the women ran to tell Peter and John, and you can read the story. They raced to the tomb and looked inside, didn't see anyone there. Mary, meanwhile, she goes back to the tomb. She didn't really understand. She'd heard he was resurrected. She couldn't understand how that could happen. The emotion of the events, can you imagine it? Loving Jesus, having been set free by Jesus, supporting Jesus' ministry, believing in him, and now all of a sudden, she's watched as he's been arrested, as he's been tried, as he's been condemned, as he's been crucified, and as he's died. Literally, you have to imagine those events overwhelmed her. And I don't know, maybe that's how you feel about the events of the last couple of weeks. Or maybe recently you've lost someone who was close to you. And on this Easter Sunday, you find yourself emotionally overwhelmed. Maybe along with that, physically exhausted. That's Mary. In John chapter 20 and verse 11, John tells us this, Mary was standing outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she stooped to look in. In verse 14, she turned to leave the tomb and she saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she did not recognize him. She's so distraught, she doesn't recognize him. I read those verses and I'm reminded that sometimes in life we can become so exhausted, either physically, emotionally, or both, that we don't see things clearly. Jesus says to her, "Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go get him." "Mary," Jesus said. And she turned and cried out, "Teacher." And then in verse 18, Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I've seen the Lord." She gave them his message. What are those verses telling us? First of all, they're telling us that just being near Jesus, just hearing his voice, just seeing him can bring us back to a place of emotional, spiritual equilibrium. Maybe the events of this pandemic have been emotionally overwhelming for you. It's been stressful for you. Maybe you're a business owner and you feel like it's turned your world upside down. That doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're human. And on this Sunday, this Easter, Jesus cares for you. He sees you. And right now, we've prayed that his presence would be close to you. Right in your home, as you're watching this, as you're hearing this message, or wherever it is that you're at, as you're listening to this message, I want you to know that the Lord is there. He's with you because he's a God who cares. And he doesn't care just generically. He cares specifically. God cares for you. On that first Easter, Jesus not only appeared to Mary, but he also showed that he cared by coming to the disciples. In John chapter 20 and verse 19, we read this. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders, and suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace to you," he said. They were afraid. You know, I've noticed this, that when people are afraid, when I'm afraid, all of us make bad decisions. Here they are. They're afraid. So they're not obeying Jesus. He had told them to go to Galilee and they're not doing that. They're also staying. Think of this. They're staying in a city where the leaders of that city have killed their leader and they're afraid they're going to be next. So why are they staying in the city? The reason why is they're afraid. And when you're afraid, you're going to make bad decisions. And third, you can see their confusion, the confusion that fear has brought to them, because they are somehow thinking that a locked door could keep out soldiers who are wanting to arrest them. They're panicked, they're afraid, they're not thinking clearly. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus comes to them. Look at it in verse 19. Suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Think about this for just a moment. They were afraid. They were very afraid. But Jesus comes, and now all of a sudden, the emotion that they're experiencing is not fear, it's joy. And again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." Jesus cared. And so he comes to them in their fear. And how does he deal with it? He just comes to them. You know, right now, if you're afraid, and it's understandable, the uncertainty of the future, the fearfulness you may have lost your job. You may be afraid you're going to lose your job. You may be wondering how you're going to pay bills. You may be wondering how this whole thing's going to turn out. You know what? All of those things, all of those questions can fill our mind and can make us afraid. What's the answer? Is there an answer? Easter tells us there's a powerful answer. There's a life-changing answer, and his name is Jesus. That when we get close to Jesus, when We have Jesus beside us. We find ourselves moving from a place of fear to a place of joy. He's there. He appears to them. Their heart's filled with joy. And he speaks to them and he says, "Peace be with you." And then watch what else he does. He reminds them that he has a purpose for their life. Did you catch that? In verse 21, again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." God cares for you, and he wants to be close to you, and he wants to walk with you and I through life. And here's the good news. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you, God cares for you, and God has a purpose for your life. You may not know this, but your life is not accidental. Your life is not incidental, but God has a plan. I love what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship." I mean, you're his masterpiece, one translation says. When he looks at you, he's like, "Wow!" You might not feel that way about yourself, but that's only because you don't understand what God has poured into you and what God sees in you. God sees more in you than you see in yourself. You can be sure of that. And God's got a plan for you. God created you to fulfill that purpose and that plan. It says, "We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Before you were born, he prepared. Your creation was planned by God. He created you with gifts so that you would be perfectly equipped to fulfill his will and his purpose for your life. In fact, I would suggest to you there are gifts inside you you don't even know exist. And I would also say this, that you and I, until we've come to know Christ, until we've given our heart to him, until we've rededicated our life to him, we're never going to completely understand, know, or comprehend the purpose for which he's created us. You were created on purpose with a purpose. If you know the Lord, let me ask you this. Do you know what you were called to do? Fear diminishes when you and I remember that God is with us and we get busy doing the things God has called us to do. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord or you're away from him today, if today you'll open your heart to him, if you'll receive him as your Savior, rededicate your life to him, you'll begin to walk with him in a new joy, a new power, a new understanding of his purpose for your life. That's my prayer for you on this Easter, that you will experience his life-changing power in that way and begin to walk in the purpose he has for you. There was another person on that first Easter who needed to see Jesus. His name was Thomas. Mary was exhausted and overwhelmed. The disciples were afraid, filled with fear, and Thomas was doubting. That's why we call him Doubting Thomas. Look at what it says in John chapter 20 and verse 24. One of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." I want to say sometimes we're a little hard on Thomas. We need to cut him some slack because honestly, he's a better man than most of us have been led to believe. I mean, about 6 months before Jesus was crucified, if you remember the story in John 11, Jesus' close friend Lazarus was near death and he ended up dying. And Jesus told the disciples, "I'm going to go and I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead." The disciples were afraid for him to go near Jerusalem because the religious leaders were wanting to kill him. But Thomas, here's what he says. In John chapter 11 and verse 16, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go to and die with Jesus." He may have been a pessimist, but he was a person of great courage. He says, "He's going to go die. Let's go die with him." I mean, he loved Jesus so intensely, he was willing to die with Jesus. because he knew this: life wouldn't be worth living without Jesus. But now in John 20, all of his worst fears have been realized. And the pessimist in Thomas is showing. And essentially what he's saying is, I knew he was going to die. And Thomas is one of those people who, when they're depressed, want to be alone. So he missed Jesus' first appearance to the disciples. And so a week later, Jesus came to him. In John chapter 20 and verse 27, Jesus says to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Did you catch what Jesus said to Thomas? Stop doubting and believe. That's such great advice. Some of you, honestly, you're the glass half empty kind of person. You're a pessimist. Maybe today you're doubting if God cares. Maybe you're doubting that God will take care of you in the coming weeks, that God will help you. Some of you might even be doubting there is a God. And today Jesus would say to you, stop doubting and believe. Verse 29, Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Watch this. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. You know what? Jesus says there's great blessing in not seeing and believing. I've pastored long enough to know that seeing isn't believing. That people have seen God work, they've seen God do things, and still not believed. Here's the way it works. Believing is seeing. If you're going to doubt something, let me just encourage you, doubt your doubts. Believe the Bible is true. Believe God loves you. Believe God wants to help you. If you believe God cares, you'll see God work. If you believe God is real, you'll see God work in your life. If you believe God will help you, you will see God work and help you. If you believe he's the Savior who died for your sin, you'll see God work in your life in a way you never imagined possible. If you believe that even though you've backslidden and fallen away from him, if you believe that he loves you and you'll rededicate your life to him, you'll see God do amazing things in your life. Listen, seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, it will radically, your faith, he will work in response to your faith. And your life will radically, powerfully, miraculously change right now today. You'll watch him work in your life in ways that you need and maybe you never imagined he could work. You say, how do I know that to be true? Well, let me just share with you a story of Allison and Jordan Fife. They put their faith in the Lord and powerful things happened in their life. Let's watch.
I have had anxiety on and off my whole life. Change is, everyone deals with change. It's the philosopher, right? The only constant is change. I've struggled to just deal with larger events in my life. Even before we got married and simple things like that, I'd just have panic attacks. I can't explain it. It's like an animal being backed into a corner kind of a thing. It's a fight or flight kind of a situation where you just feel really overwhelmed. We weren't married yet, but we were starting to move things from my place over to his. I just ended up on the ground. I was in tears. I was, I was breathing into a bag. It's like you can't catch your breath. And essentially I was just hysterical on the floor, which made no sense. So I had started, I saw a doctor after that and was decided that medication was what I needed to start taking at that point. And so they had me on an antidepressant.
Just having the conversation of let's start a family was very difficult because it was, no, I'm not going through all of that. There's no way I can't do that. It took a while to kind of come around and say, okay, we do want a family. I'd started to kind of, you know, explore the churches in Springfield. James River was just the one that I knew right away was where I wanted to go.
Coming in the first time, I didn't know that it was so large and I didn't know that that's what it was going to be.
So services were pretty overwhelming. I spent my time watching from the family room. You know, it just took some getting used to, but I eventually made my way into the auditorium.
I feel like I've always identified myself as a Christian, but I don't necessarily know that I can 100% say that I was, you know, that I was living maybe a Christian life.
Listening to Pastor John's messages, I just knew that, you know, there was something missing. Living a moral life wasn't enough, and without God, you know, I was not going to be healed of my anxiety. You know, without him, it wasn't possible to do it on my own. So it was Easter Sunday and Pastor David was giving the altar call.
I felt in that moment that it was definitely the right decision, and
I knew I needed a personal relationship with Christ, and I knew I needed to be saved.
Jordan, you know, like took my hand and said, I'll go with you. Walking down, I was just very overwhelming. I mean, quite the opposite of anxiety, I guess. More just like an overwhelmed feeling of joy.
Since I was saved and baptized this past Easter, you know, I'm free of the medication and free of the anxiety that I once had and the fears that, you know, controlled the smallest parts of my life. And
it's an incredible feeling to know that that is not there anymore, and to know that I don't have to lean on taking medication or having panic attack of some sort.
There was more of a comfort and a peace that you had of, I can do this now. I can do this with his help, with him giving me strength.
You know, as we look ahead, you know, we know the Lord is going before us, and we have so much to look forward to this year with our faith growing, our family growing. There's just so many wonderful things, and, you know, God has made all of that possible.
Wasn't that an incredible story? I mean, how they believed the Lord and God did the miraculous in their life, and he's still doing it today. You know, the Lord loves you so much. And he wants to work in your life. What was the key in their life? It was they opened their heart to him. She had known about the Lord. She felt she loved the Lord. She just never made a decision to follow the Lord. And when she made that decision to give her heart to Christ, it absolutely changed her life. That's the power of making a faith decision to receive Christ as your Savior today. I don't know where you're at, what you're doing right now, but right now you can stop and you can invite Jesus into your heart. Or you may be a person who says, well, I did that before, but today you find yourself away from God. For lack of a better term, you're backslidden. You're not walking with the Lord. And today, right now, on this Easter, you can rededicate your life to him. Recommit your heart to him. And you can experience the life-changing power of Jesus in this moment that will not only give you a walk with him, but will also just bring his power into your life, and you'll begin seeing him work in your life in a way you never imagined possible.